Welcome to Today with Tech, where we explore the realms of science and technology, explain the possibilities using those two subjects, and help you develop your own projects. So starting off, we have to look into how a computer chip works, and it works by various components, which are all very complicated, and again, these have to go down to a deeper understanding of these parts in order to develop a computer chip, but for now we're just going to list what these parts are. We have the CPU, the GPU, but of course the GPU is optional based on what kind of chip you would like to design. You could also add ROM, which is actually mandatory, the RAM, and most importantly, you also have to be able to create some sort of adaption for power, because of course, how is this computer chip going to function if there is no way for it to even be able to turn on? Now, each of these parts has a different kind of thing associated to it, and of course, all these parts could be used like different models, but in the end, you still have to use each and every one of these parts if you want to make a successful, successfully working computer chip. And it's definitely a complicated thing. I'm working on one, as a matter of fact, right now, which I'm planning to fabricate and hopefully be able to release it. And it's definitely a complicated subject because once you think, okay, this is something I can do, this is something I want to complete, it's definitely a lot more complicated because these CPU, GPU, all these other parts, they're so hard to understand. And sure, you could just go buy some parts, try and solder them to a chip, and then just connect them all. But there's a lot more to it than that. One of the main things you have to think about is what these parts do. So again, the CPU, it kind of processes the information it's given. The GPU, it processes graphics. The ROM is what the CPU will read. It's its instructions. And the RAM is the memory the CPU needs in order to be able to process the instructions. And of course, we also have the power supply, which kind of explains itself. We need to power the chip itself, so that way it can run. Once you've realized this, you have to move one step further, and it gets more complicated. You have to realize what the pins on each of these little parts represent. And these little pins represent functions, but each one of them resembles a different function, and you have to learn which one resembles what, as the connection between these little parts on this little chip means so much, because if you connect them in the wrong way, the computer chip cannot process information properly and will always mess up a task. This will not bode well, as then the computer chip, while already fabricated, will not function properly and is a complete waste of time. Though we do now understand a little bit more about these parts to this computer chip, we don't exactly understand how they work, and so we have to dive in a little bit deeper into the schematics of any computer chip ever, and this would involve transistors. And transistors, they are like a little gate, and these gates function based off either ones or zeros called binary code. And binary code, it's stored in the ROM chip, which again, this ROM has to be able to store that, but it also has to be able to use transistors. So it's almost like a loop, but it has to figure, the system has to figure itself out in order to understand these codes. So the little ones and zeros that go through the binary code, it's almost like a program to these transistors, and it helps the computer process the information by executing instructions based on the order of these little transistors. And it helps out so much because as time has progressed, we've been able to shrink this down so much that nowadays we could use a tiny device and it'll be consisting of thousands of transistors on a microscopic level. And yes, this does mean that anything you use, phones, computers, tablets, TVs, USB drives, they consist of thousands of microscopic transistors that have been programmed using binary code in order to develop this little instruction on a chip that can be executed to perform any function required that we choose to give it. And of course, these instructions, again, they are given by us, or at least programmed by us, and then the computer figures out what to do with these instructions based on later programming outside of binary code. And of course, it's a very complicated subject, binary code is, because it's so complicated, because a certain pattern of ones and zeros means one thing, but if you mess up one digit, it can mean a whole other function and mess up everything entirely. And again, this means a lot to a computer chip, as without the ability to function, you can't simply reprogram it. As ROM, once it's programmed, you're not going to reprogram it unless you have some specially designed ROM chip, in which case you might be able to, but for modern day ROM chips, they're not reprogrammable, or at least if you can reprogram them, and that's a rare occasion, it'll be very slow, and we're talking tediously long amounts of time, and that only goes to change small little functions in the system. And for the amount of time it takes to change these functions, you got to think it's a reprogramming through these little lines in a silicon board, which all these parts are placed upon, and it's very important that these parts all work together properly the first time, otherwise it could jeopardize the entire chip. And so what if you now say, okay, I kind of understand what these parts are, I have a basic understanding of what makes them work, and how binary code affects the computer chip's instructions, and you're ready to move on. Well, of course, we can't exactly explain everything in one little podcast, but what we can do is we can explain just one more topic, which is development. So, of course, in the process of development, there's design, and designing is definitely a difficult topic to explain because, I mean, while it's a simplistic thought, it's a simplistic concept, there's a lot that goes into the design because you have to understand where these transistors have to go and where they have to connect. And even I have trouble sometimes because all this computer chip design and fabrication, it's a difficult subject to grasp. And you have to think, when you're designing, what are you going for? Are you going for a compact style? Are you going for more of a better functional style? Or do you want to go with some just crazy insane style that you don't think anyone else has come up with? What do you want? This affects a lot, as when you're trying to develop your chip, you have to think about this, because based on design, you're going to have to change the way you connect all these parts. You're going to have to change the way you actually design the inside of these parts. So if you're going for just developing the chip itself, you use pre-built parts such as like just simple Intel chip pieces, and you go ahead and you just order some of those, you want to connect those, that's one thing. But trying to design the inner parts, the transistors, that's a whole other story. And it affects everything, because the way you have to connect them, the different like sub-functions of everything, it's really complicated, and based on design, you're going to have to change the way it's all set up. This, of course, doesn't mean you have to change the way you want to design your chip, because no one way is harder than the other. It's all based on personal preference. If you want to make a compact design, make a compact design. If you want to make a functional design, make a functional design. Because we have to think about how everything in today's society is, it's a variety. You have to think about all the different ways things are made. Because it's like patents. You have one object, and someone tries to copy it. Well, the things without patents, they're basically the same thing. There's so many other products like it, but they're all in a different style. Or at least most of the time they are. And this is a really good example of designing your computer chip. Anyway, sadly, that's all the time we have for this podcast today on Today with Tech. Thank you so much for listening. And if you want to continue trying to learn and design computer chips, or just dig into the realm of science, in which we will be going into in a later part of the series, be my guest, and stick around. Thank you so much for listening. I'm your host, and good night.